Welcome to Parents Perspective. The kitchen door slammed shut as 15-year-old Sam walked in and headed for the refrigerator. "So," his mom asked, "how was your first day of community service?"
"A downer," Sam replied, draping himself over the sink, munching on a pear. "Here's this group supposed to be protecting people's rights, and all I'm doing is working at the switchboard. How am I supposed to help anybody doing that?"
"Is there anyone there in charge of the community service interns?"
"Yeah, we're all supposed to have a meeting tomorrow. I don't know, maybe I'd be better hanging out in the park, clearing out underbrush and stuff."
From a parent's perspective, what should we know about our kids' community service? I'm Sandy Burt.
And I'm Linda Perlis. Our guest today works with students and community service. Christine Leary is a student services learning specialist who works with staff and community-based agencies that help students with community service opportunities. Chris has two children of her own, a daughter in middle school and a son in high school. Welcome to Parents Perspective, Chris.
Thanks. I'm glad to be here.
What do we mean when we refer to community service, especially for kids?
Well, community service is kids engaging in the community, finding ways that they can help others, that they can engage in making a difference in their community. But there's a piece of that that I'd like to talk about a little bit. There are two different kinds of service for kids, basically. One is community service, and the other is what we call student service learning. Student service learning is where students engage in service in the community, and that service is connected to what they're learning in school. So it's a way to put into practice, hands-on, the kind of things they're learning in their different classes.
Can you give an example of
that? Yeah, an example of that would be, say, kids who are working for an organization that does environmental protection projects. And they're applying the things that they've learned in their science class. Say they're doing a watershed project where they're studying how water runoff and drainage, how it affects a river and, say, perhaps the bay in the area, for example, in our area, the Chesapeake Bay. So students learn about the water process and the water runoff, and then they find out what kinds of things they could do to help make a difference in terms of protection for the bay. We have kids all over our county growing bay grasses that they take and plant in the Chesapeake Bay to help with the purification and cleanliness in the bay.
Why should we encourage our kids to do community service other than, obviously, the environmental protection that you mentioned?
I think that the biggest benefit is for the kids themselves. When we encourage kids to engage in service, one of the first things that they're learning is that they can make a difference. And so often kids feel separated and sort of powerless in terms of making an impact in their community. And when they engage in community service, they find out that, hey, I really can make a difference, that there's somebody there waiting for me to show up to do something, and it matters whether or not I'm there. And that empowerment in itself is just wonderful for the kids. And kids gain skills in terms of decision-making and working in groups, and they learn to plan things and carry out a project, and then in the end reflect on that project and then see what worked and what didn't and how they could have changed it and what kind of difference they could make for the future. So it's a wonderful opportunity all the way around for the kids. And the fact that they're connecting with their community gives them the opportunity to learn more about what's out there and what's going on in the community and what it really means to be a citizen and what it is to act on our responsibility to make a difference for others.
It's such a good example of learning outside the classroom. No lectures, no textbooks, no tests.
It's real hands-on and authentic, and it's a place where kids can answer the question, why do I need to know this? It's the place where they can actually go out and put it into action and see that, yeah, you know, learning about when you dump something in a storm drain and it goes into a river and that river goes into the bay and then whatever dumped in there ends up killing fish somewhere else. It's now I understand why it makes a difference, and it helps them to really see it and to put it into practice.
In a number of school districts nationwide, a certain number of community service hours are required for high school graduation. Do you think that's a good idea, and why?
I support a service requirement for graduation. Here in our state, we have that as a statewide requirement, and we're the only state in the country. But what we're finding is more and more school districts, as you said, across the country are following suit, public and private schools, putting in that kind of a requirement. And I support it because what it does is, in essence, encourages kids to get out and do something that they might not have done on their own. And in talking with kids around our school district, I found kids who said that at first all they were doing was going out and making sure that they got the requirement done, and that that was really their goal. But once they got into the service and found out that it was something that they really enjoyed, I've talked to so many kids who've done hundreds and hundreds of hours beyond the requirement because they found out that it's something that they loved and really made a difference. And so that's why I support the requirement, because it's that initial push, especially for kids who might be a little bit shy or concerned that, oh, what am I going to be able to do when I get out there? I don't have anything to offer. I don't want to go into that nursing home and talk to that old lady. That's kind of scary. But it's really for the kids, it's the hook, I think. And then connecting it to their academics, I also support, because service learning enhances their academics. It makes it real. It gives them the chance to really expand and grow in terms of what they're learning. So I think all the way around, it's a win for the kids, and it's certainly a win for the agencies, too.
We had an interesting experience, actually, with two of my three kids. One loves animals and worked in a wildlife rehabilitation center for two summers as a volunteer, and that was community service that he loved doing and saw the results of, because he saw the animals become able to go back into the wild. And another one of my sons went to an agency, and they asked him, do you want to work with older people or kids? And he said he wanted to work with kids. Well, he worked with children with disabilities that summer, and he had never, ever been exposed to children in wheelchairs and in braces and all kinds of problems. It was quite an interesting summer for him, and I think inspirational lifelong.
And that's the goal of it, is that it really become lifelong, that it's something that once you engage in and you grow from it, that we hope that the kids will keep it as something that they do for the rest of their lives, because it's exposure to so many different things that they might not have the opportunity to do otherwise. And another benefit of it, which is an aside, is that kids get to see adults working in careers where they're helping others. So they get that opportunity to have a little bit of a different perspective. So often it's, we focus in our society and I want the career where I'm going to make a lot of money. And that's what's really important. And when you get kids out in nonprofits and they start to see folks who are engaged in really meaningful work, and the focus is not on the money but on the difference they're making for kids, that's a really important exposure, and it's a great opportunity.
I don't think you can duplicate that in a classroom.
What kinds of community service are most popular among elementary and middle school students?
There are basically three kinds of service: indirect, where kids are working on projects that benefit a group or an organization, but they don't come in contact necessarily directly with the client group that they're serving. Examples of those are canned food drives and clothing drives and that kind of thing. Direct service is where the kids are right in contact with the client group, visiting at a senior citizens facility or serving at a homeless shelter or kitchen, that kind of thing, direct service. And then the third kind of service is advocacy, where students become engaged in a cause, working towards changing perhaps a law or bringing a law into place. For example, in the state of Maryland, it was kids who worked together to put the bicycle helmet law in place. They decided that it was important, and they're the group that came together and advocated and got the bicycle helmet law passed in the state of Maryland.
That's fabulous outcome. So, what an education in the legislative process.
It's the citizenship piece. It's not just the serving, but it's finding out about what it means to be part of this country, where we have so many different opportunities and the ability to gain so much, and then to be able to learn that part of that civic responsibility is giving back.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion about community service for kids.
The excellent new book, Parents as Mentors, by hosts Sandra Burt and Linda Perlis, is a practical guide to bringing out the abilities in your child. Parents as Mentors is available at all bookstores.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We are talking with Chris Leary about community service for students.
In terms of elementary school kids, if they're doing the project and it's really a kids generated and kids only project, generally it tends to be those indirect kinds of things, the canned food drives or book drives, that kind of thing. And that tends to happen more because they don't have transportation and it's a lot easier to make those kinds of things happen. But if they're volunteering with their families, which is a thing that we really encourage for elementary school kids, for all kids across the board, but with elementary school children, to introduce them to it and to help them develop a sense of comfort in going into those situations where they might not feel so comfortable, then they do more direct service when they're engaged with their families.
I would think arts and crafts projects would also work very well.
Oh, yeah, they do.
Making placemats or making scrapbooks or any kind of thing.
Yeah, and to the veterans hospitals, lots of times Valentine's on Valentine's Day, so they're making those kinds of things. So those kinds of projects. Middle school kids also do a lot of the indirect kind of service projects in school, but they're beginning to be much more comfortable getting out into the community, and they're really looking for those kinds of opportunities. And that's more and more where we encourage them, because parents feel a little more comfortable too in letting their kids go out and work in agencies. They're a little more willing to let their kids out into the community. A lot of middle school kids engage in projects where they're working with younger children, in Head Start, in daycare kinds of projects, and in nursing homes. That's also real popular for middle school kids.
We had one of my sons as a middle schooler volunteered at a local school that was used as an after-school homework center for kids. And after a few times, he had many different pedagogical theories that he wanted to share. He was going to improve the whole educational system. It was really had a big effect on him.
Well, your example of the tutoring program, that's one of the things that school systems can really take advantage of in this time when we're all of us across the country are struggling with how to raise the academic standards and the academic bar and to help close those achievement gaps for some kids. Our greatest resource is other kids in the school system, and having the older children work with younger children, high school with middle school with elementary school children, and doing those kinds of tutoring projects, that's our greatest pool of source for volunteers. And that's an excellent example of a project.
Yeah. What about projects for high school students?
Oh, we have high school students engaged in all kinds of things. And The nice thing for high school students is they begin to really design their own projects based on real interest. Middle school kids and elementary school kids, there tends to be more of a direction from the adults in terms of helping them look at, well, maybe have you thought about this as an interest or that as an interest, whereas high school kids are the ones generating the projects based on their own interest, which is so exciting, because if it's theirs and they own it, the connection to the project and the commitment to the project and the carry through is just absolutely fabulous. High school kids engage in, again, those projects, lots of projects working with kids, younger children, senior citizens, folks with disabilities, but we also see more and more where kids engage in the political process, where they volunteer to work with a particular candidate of their interest or a particular cause. We've had kids engaged in gun control activities. When the Million Mom March took place, we had kids from all over the county engaged in working with the organizations that were involved in that and in advocacy for gun control regulations. Lots of environmental projects, too, with high school kids, more in-depth, where they're actually, say, taking a piece of property in their neighborhood that belongs to the county, and it's kind of fallen into disrepair, or they wanted to clean it up to make it more useful for their community. So they plan the project and work through the county agencies to find out what they need to do and that kind of thing.
There was one student at one of my son's high schools who was very talented, and so she decided to form her own little high school drama troupe. And they made up their plays, and they had songs and everything, and they put on productions for nursing homes or children's hospitals or something like that. And that was something they really owned.
And when kids own it, it makes all the difference in the world in terms of the project. We had a high school student who lost a family member to an accident with a drunk driver. And so out of her pain and her grief, she decided that what she wanted to do was help raise the awareness with other high school students in terms of at prom time and all those different high-risk times. So she brought a group of friends together, and they made a videotape that they used, and they talked about this loss of the family member, and they've distributed that to schools, and they've gone out and they've talked through her own experience and her own pain to try to get other students really to think about it, because that's, you know, we all know with high school kids especially, they're invincible. So to get them to think about this is really real, and to bring it back to them. So it's a fabulous opportunity.
Coming from another student.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. What advice would you give parents about helping their children get involved in community service programs?
First and most important, I think that parents, especially with younger children, but with all children, should be sure that the agency that they're going to is going to be able to provide the students adequate supervision while they're there, so that while they're engaged in the service, there's an adult with them, so that they know that the kids are engaged in safe and appropriate service, and so that when they're there, it's in a public place, so that the students are never in a one-on-one situation with an adult, and it should never be in a private home, because you want to make sure first and foremost that your kids are safe. And going through registered nonprofit agencies is really important, I think. And tapping into local volunteer centers in their community to find out what agencies have hooked in with them and are interested in using kids, because that's important too, that the agency is willing to take kids on, because if they're not used to working with children, they might not know how to engage the kids appropriately and what kinds of things they need to do in terms of supervising kids. So that's real important. And the second thing is not to do all the work in finding the agencies for the kids. Because I talk to a lot of parents, and their first question is, what do I need to do to get my child engaged in community service? And my automatic response is, you don't need to do anything except talk to your child about it. They need to be the one that does the research, that looks at what kinds of agencies are out there. The kids need to make the phone calls. The kids need to talk, because if it comes directly from the parent, look, I found this agency and this is going to be great and you're going to love it, let's go. Often that is not a successful experience, because it didn't come from the student and it's not necessarily their area of interest. And the other thing is ask about it and to be engaged and to be interested and talk with the kids about what they've done and what they've learned and what they liked and what they didn't like. Those kinds of things are real important. But safety first.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to finish our discussion about community service for kids.
For an audio cassette copy of any parent's perspective show, send a check or money order for $5 with your name, address, and phone number to Parents Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C., 20015.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We are talking with Chris Leary about community service for students. How do you help fit a kid to an appropriate community service activity? What if you help him find a place and then it doesn't match?
Well, first we talk about what it is they're interested in. You've got to spend a little time with the student finding out, what do you like to do? What do you think you're really good at? And then start to talk to them about what kinds of things that could transfer into in the community. A student that I helped recently whose real interest was working with computers, and they thought, you know, well, there aren't any nonprofit agencies out there that do computer stuff. Computer companies are for profit. So what am I going to do with that? Well, we started to talk about, what is it about computers that you like to do? And what this young man identified is that he likes to help other people learn how to use the computer. And I said, you know, there are There are senior citizens programs that are looking for people to help come in and teach their folks how to use the computer. So talking first with kids about what are your interests, and then if a student goes out and they think this is what they want to do and they come back and say, oh, I really don't like this. This is not me. I'm not comfortable here. Then asking with the agency to talk to the person at the agency about what the issues are. Sometimes it's just they don't like the particular job, like the switchboard story from the beginning, and say, well, I'd really rather do something else in the agency. And then if that really doesn't work, saying, you know, it's okay to say, this isn't the place for me. Let's pull back and look and try to do some more research and figure out what fits better with you. But not to, when they very first say, I didn't like it, say, okay, fine, then forget it. You don't have to go back. But work through that first before saying, yeah, maybe this really isn't the place for you.
Chris, how does your program work in Montgomery County, Maryland?
Well, as I said earlier, Maryland is the only state in the country that has a service graduation requirement. So each school district within the state was able to design their own program to best meet the needs of their students and their community. So all across the state, we all look different. Every program is different. And in Montgomery County, Maryland, because we are a suburban, urban area, we have lots and lots of opportunities of agencies for kids. So we have first that lucky piece as opposed to some of our more rural counties that don't have all the opportunities for kids. But what we do is we've connected with our county volunteer center to identify and train agencies so that they know what their responsibilities are in terms of taking students on and what kinds of things we are looking for in terms of opportunities for kids. And then from there, each of our schools monitors and works with the individual students within that school, middle school and high school, to help them in terms of finding places and working with projects. Now, we talk about 60 hours of service in Montgomery County for our kids. 30 of those hours they do in middle school through particular classes. They do through grade 6 science and grade 7 English and grade 8 social studies. And the projects that they engage in out in the community are related to those subject areas. So the kids are putting the learning into action in the community. And then the remaining hours kids have to do on their own. And they do that, we hope, through those approved agencies, because we know those agencies have gone through the training and they're asking to have our kids come in. But sometimes our kids pick agencies that aren't on that approved list, and then they go through a process of getting that activity approved for them solely so that they can work with that agency.
Who has to approve the activity?
Each school has a service learning coordinator, and the student would fill out what it is they're going to do, get their parents' signature and get approval from the agency. Then they take it into school and the service learning coordinator signs off on it during the school year. And in the summer, I serve as the approval site for any kids who have a special activity that they want to do in the summer.
Chris, what examples can you give of students' community service activities that might have had unforeseen consequences?
A project that kids got engaged in was an environmental study, and they found this gas station in their community, and there was this stuff on the ground, and they didn't know what it was. So they wanted to figure out, was it something that was harmful coming from the gas station, and was it going to harm the creek that was behind the gas station? So the kids engaged in that. They collected samples. They did a study to figure out what it was, and then they went to the EPA with the fact that it turned out it wasn't from the gas station, but somebody had dumped something, a chemical, and it was going to go into the creek. And so they were able to go to the county EPA and say, hey, we got a problem over here. And they did a stream cleanup based on
that.
Oh,
so impressive.
It's exciting, yeah.
That's terrific. Well, for all our listeners out there who are ready with their pencils and pads and so forth, what kinds of resources can you suggest to parents and children to locate opportunities for community service?
Well, first of all, I would suggest that they find the volunteer center in their community and hook up with them in terms of finding out what kinds of agencies are out there. I can certainly share our website, which lists agencies in our area, but it also would give some thoughts in terms of agencies that maybe nationally they'd want to hook up with. And in Montgomery County, it's www.montgomeryvolunteer.org. And that goes to our volunteer center, but it talks about service learning and it hooks up to different kinds of agencies. So it would give some inspiration there. The Corporation for National Service is a great source of information for student service and for kids to be engaged in services across the country. So that's another place that folks could look, and that's a governmental agency. And that's www.cnsc.gov.
This is very exciting information for, I think, all of our parents to feel that they can help their kids get started. And it may be life-changing in a lot of cases. Our special thanks to Chris Leary for being with us and helping us to learn a whole lot more about community service. Thanks so much, Chris.
Thanks. I'm glad to have been here.
Our gift for our first caller is an autographed copy of our book, Parents as Mentors. Just call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. That's 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. And tell us what station you're listening to. Since we're airing all over the world, it's always fun to know what station you're tuning in from. Parents as Mentors is available at all major bookstores and on the web.
To learn more about Parents' Perspective and our book, Parents as Mentors, visit our website, http://i.am/parentsperspective. That's http://i.am/parentsperspective. This is Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis. We're glad you could share Parents' Perspective. Our sound engineer is Damon Fisher. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.